Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, August 14th, 2017. And with me today from the MacCast, I have Adam Christensen. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Happy to be back.
It's good to have you here. And John Martellaro, how are you today?
I'm good. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Adam.
Hey, John.
All right. It's like a party now. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing Mini, which is pretty awesome. We'll talk about that in a bit. But first, there are some leaked videos out now, and they are for the iPhone 8. So here's the deal. There were a couple short clips, just like a few seconds each, that are supposedly from inside the Foxconn factory where the iPhone 8 is currently being made. And they show the back panels for the phone. And I know I kind of sprung this on you guys very quickly. So I don't know if you've had a chance to see the videos yet. And if so, what do you think? And if not, I'll describe them to you so everyone knows about them.
Well, what I thought was interesting was the visualization of the mass production process. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen videos like that where individuals were on a kind of like an assembly line. It kind of reminded me of I Love Lucy in the line of chocolates running by, you know?
Yeah.
So that was interesting to me.
In your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So for those of you that haven't seen these two short videos yet, one of them shows like a couple big racks with the back panels for the iPhone 8 just dangling off of them, or presumably the iPhone 8. And then the other video, it's the one John is just talking about. You have this long row of these iPad back panels that keep spinning to different angles. And then you have these people with polishing cloths, and they just polish the case cover, spins to another angle, they keep polishing, and that's it. So, but these are supposedly from the Foxconn factory, and I'm thinking, hey, way to double down on secrecy there.
Well, I have a feeling they're short for a reason, right?
Yeah, because they had to, like, sneak their iPhone around their lab coat thing and snap a couple seconds of video and then hide their phone. One thing when I discount the fact that holy crap, someone was brazen enough to actually capture video inside this factory showing iPhones in production.
Well, I'm guessing the payment to a leak source for that kind of video is pretty substantial versus the amount of money paid for working in the factory.
Yeah, I'm assuming that the money they were paid to sneak these videos is at least equivalent to your salary in China.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, maybe this is a person, it's their last week or last day, or, you know, they're already planning on moving on anyway, so.
Right. So there you go. All right, but here's the thing that I found very interesting looking at these back panels in these two videos. I do not see a hole on the back for a Touch ID sensor.
Yay.
Yep. I see the oblong hole in the corner for the camera lenses,
oh, yeah,
but nothing for Touch ID. And I'm assuming that if you have these panels being carried around on big racks and they're at the point where you actually have employees polishing them before they get married to the rest of a phone, you're not going to be punching a hole in these to put a sensor.
I'm pretty sure they come all pre-ready, and because they're doing assembly, right? So
right.
You're not, I would doubt you'd have a machine during the assembly phase actually doing finishing operations on the case like that.
Right. Yep. I'm totally with you. So that brings me to two possible theories. One is Touch ID has been in the glass surface has been resolved. So
yep,
you'll be
so
able
too.
To just touch the glass. Or Apple is ditching Touch ID entirely on this phone and going with something else, probably facial recognition.
For some reason, I just have this vague hunch that throwing away Touch ID, something that's been so useful over the years, and it's so practical and so secure, to just throw it away just doesn't sit right with me.
I keep thinking there's going
to be a mixture of the two under different circumstances.
Here's the thing. I'm totally with John on this. The reality, though, is all the recent signs and rumors seem to be pointing to facial recognition being a replacement for Touch ID. And I unfortunately feel like that's where it's going to land. So I think I said this on another podcast. I don't know if I remember if it was here or not, but my only caveat there is they're going to have to convince me that it's infinitely better, faster, and more secure than Touch ID was, because I love Touch ID. So
wouldn't it be smart to kind of have the two coexist while they work out the bugs of facial recognition and then drop Touch ID later?
Yes.
A couple generations.
I think they had a plan that they were going to do the under the glass thing all along. All indications and signs, again, from sort of the rumor sources seem to indicate that did not go well. So I think they pivoted, and I think this may be where they landed, unfortunately.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, if everything goes the way we're expecting it, based on Apple's history with product announcements, probably the second week in September-ish, we'll have a media event where the new iPhones are released or announced.
Announced, yeah.
So we'll see iPhone 7S, iPhone 7S Plus, and iPhone 8. And that's when we'll know for sure exactly what Apple is doing with biometric security on the device. And then we'll also know when it's actually going to ship.
Yeah. The biggest concern with using facial recognition that I've come up with so far is the fact that if you're just present, it seems like there's an attack vector there. You know, like someone can grab your phone, and if they're stealing it, just sort of, if it works at every angle and very quickly, it seems like the phone would be unlocked as they were running away with your device.
Sure. Yeah. Grab the phone, hold it up to your face as they're running away, and now they've unlocked your phone. I mean, that with Touch ID, it's almost that simple. You know, you grab the phone and then stick someone's finger on it. And if you go with the thumb from their strong hand, their dominant hand, then odds are you just unlock the phone.
Yeah.
So, but still, being able to grab a phone, just hold it up and run, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
All right. So, we'll know more soon, I'm betting, because we're getting close to September. So, there you go. It looks like there's no Touch ID sensor on the back of the new iPhone, and that means either Touch ID embedded in the glass on the display, or no Touch ID at all and facial recognition instead. So, hey, that's exciting. All right, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing Mini. And iMazing Mini is a cool little utility that lets you do a lot of stuff that you can do with the full-on iMazing, meaning it will let you back up your device over Wi-Fi. And when I say device, I mean your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod Touch. You can set up a schedule to let it do the backups for you. And it's totally configurable. So you can make iMazing Mini do the backup that you want. And it works sort of like Time Machine, in that you can do snapshots through time of your iOS device and create essentially archives of your iPhone at a different state and time. So that's really handy if you're going to do something like, say, install a beta version of iOS on your device, and you want to make sure you have a fallback to a state that you know worked correctly in the event that something goes wrong with the beta. No problem. You can do that. And it's just this really cool little utility. Now, what makes it even cooler is that iMazing Mini is free, period. There's no strings attached. It's just free. And you can go download it for your computer today and start getting these amazing backups that otherwise you just wouldn't be able to get. So here's what you need to do. You need to go to the iMazing website. That's iMazing, iMazing.com/mini. And from there, you'll be able to download iMazing Mini, install it on your computer, and get those backups happening just the way you want, and like literally just the way you want. And that's a really great thing. So iMazing Mini, thank you for being our sponsor today. All right. The other thing I wanted to talk about today is the state of Apple Pay. And what has brought this up is that Adam, you're having experiences with Apple Pay in general that I haven't seen yet, but we don't live in the same part of the country.
Right.
So what exactly is happening for you?
So this is something that I've been bringing up for a while now, but the short answer is I have been a big fan of Apple Pay. I love Apple Pay. I prefer to use it if I have the option when I'm at a retailer. And there's a few locations where in the past I have used Apple Pay. I can give specific examples. I think Home Depot is one of those. Another more recent one is my grocery store, which is Albertsons, the one that's closest to me. And I've used Apple Pay at those locations in the past and gone in recently to use Apple Pay and been told, oh, Apple Pay doesn't work anymore. And then they rub salt in the wound and tell me, oh, by the way, though, we do take Samsung Pay. Ouch. And actually Lowe's is one of these places as well, although I don't think they've ever taken Apple Pay, but they do take Samsung Pay. And what bothers me about this is that as far as all of the research I've done and what I've been told by people who work in this industry is that the underlying NFC technology that enables both Samsung Pay and Apple Pay and Google Pay and any other of the contactless payment systems is essentially the same. So that says to me that retailers are making an active choice to support one platform or the other, and therefore disabling likely in software inside the terminal. Again, this is what I've been told would have to happen. Doing that to purposely say, hey, we're not going to support Apple Pay. And the other thing about specifically Albertsons, which I think is now owned by Safeway Group, and this seems to have happened when that buyout went into play. Mm-hmm. I just found out this week that they've added their own sort of payment rewards platform with their own app that you can sign up for. And now they are encouraging their customers to use. So I think part of the conscious choice to not support Apple Pay was, hey, we're working on our own thing and we want people to use that. So what that, bringing it back to Apple, what that says to me is that, and where I've been frustrated lately is that to me, it feels like Apple is doing a great job in onboarding credit card companies. I mean, they were all the major ones were there day one. They've been pretty good at rolling out to new countries. They've also been very good at signing up banks. We get announcements almost every week about new banks who are supporting Apple Pay. But I think they're missing the most critical part of the whole equation, which is the retail experience and the retailers. If I, as a customer, cannot use Apple Pay when I go into and want to use it, then I'm getting to the point where I don't even bother anymore. I just take my credit card out and I stick it in the chip reader, as much as I hate that whole experience. Mm-hmm. Versus Apple Pay. But it's just not worth the hassle that I have to go through with either argue. And this is multiple levels. So that's one level. The other level is just the uneducation of places where it is supported, that cashiers don't understand how it works. They don't understand what buttons they need to push on the register. It breaks down the whole experience. And I just feel like Apple is put all this focus on the back end, but they're missing the most critical point.
Yeah, I'm concerned about what may be happening based on your experience. And where I am in Boulder, it's a little bit different, but it may also be different because of the way I choose to shop. Meaning there are Safeways and King Supers, which is part of Kroger, that are nearby. But because of where I live, I can walk to a local independent grocery store that does support Apple Pay.
Right.
And there's also a Whole Foods that's closer to me than the Safeway or the King Supers. So sometimes I'll go and shop there. And the other stores that I tend to go to on a regular basis have been and continue to support Apple Pay. So I'm lucky in that regard. Target and Home Depot, of course, the big exceptions because neither of those are doing in-store Apple Pay.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with Home Depot. I mean, I believe they were a launch partner, and I have to go back and again look at Apple's website, and I believe they were one of those companies that was mentioned on Apple's website.
I don't think they were a launch partner, but as I recall, it did work.
Right.
And then Home Depot shut it down.
Yep. Yeah. So again, what I worry about is Apple is not making the effort or not choosing to make the effort at retail to partner with retailers to do whatever they need to do. And, you know, it may just be typical things like, hey, other companies are willing to do cash kickbacks or, you know, and it's just things that Apple's not willing to do. I do know another area where retailers seem to have pushed back with Apple Pay is the whole privacy thing. Mm-hmm. And that may be part of this equation, too. I haven't done enough research to look into that quite yet. But my assumption is, especially when you see like my grocery store retailer rolling out their own program, I have a feeling is they want to be able to track what you're buying and which stores you're going to and how frequently you're shopping and stuff like that. And with Apple Pay, Apple's not going to give them access to that data. So they may be actively choosing to opt out of Apple Pay because they can't get that stuff. And again, I don't know if Samsung allows that, but historically, Android and Samsung have been more open about being willing to share that kind of data and information with their partners.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if the privacy issues are part of what's going on here.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and I also have to wonder how much of this is just a momentum thing, meaning companies just really don't feel like changing what they're doing, so they're not going to add Apple support. But then once companies are on board, they like their old ways, so they kind of go back.
I'd be with you there if it weren't for the Samsung Pay thing. Like, I'd be totally on board with that if it weren't the fact that, you know, early on it was, we don't have the kinds of terminals that support NFC. Well, that with the whole chip system, and almost all the chip terminals seem to support NFC. So that argument sort of went away. And then, you know, I think what happened was a lot of retailers didn't even realize. I had this experience early on. Do you support Apple Pay? I don't know. And you just try it and it would just work because they had a new terminal. Mm-hmm. And then I think what happened was, at upper levels, they started looking at it and going, wait a minute, you know, there's some disadvantages that we don't like about our customers using Apple Pay. And then they started talking to the payment terminal providers and saying, hey, can you disable this or tweak this? And that seemed, and again, this is all just my experience. I haven't looked much deeper into this, but that feels to me like what's happening.
John, where you are, because you're in a different location than Adam and me. What have you been seeing with Apple Pay?
Well, none of the merchants that I've been using Apple Pay with have discontinued it. Sprouts and Whole Foods and Panera Bread. But I did notice when I was at Cheesecake Factory over the weekend, they have this new system called Cake Pay. And I asked them about it. And what happens is that you download an app, which is free, and then you register. And I don't know, I haven't tried it. You need to at least enter your credit card number, mm-hmm. and probably a billing address to match, to verify the credit card number. Mm-hmm. So now when the server comes to the table, they give you a receipt with a code. You punch in the code, and the code collects what you bought, what you ate, I think, and bills your credit card number. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, let's see. Let's ask what happens to my credit card when I pay the regular way. The server takes it away and swipes it through the terminal in the other room. And she said, well, once we get paid, your credit card number disappears from the system. And we recommend you stay with that, because as soon as you register with your app, you're going to have a credit card on file. And of course, that becomes a target. So I was very interested to hear the server's opinion about this. And it occurred to me that this is what merchants are, as you guys just described, are up to, is they want to roll their own, and they want to have your credit card number on file, and they want to collect what you bought, and then they become targets. And then in a year or two, you hear of a massive hack, perhaps, maybe not, maybe, of Cheesecake Factory, where 2.2 million credit card numbers have been coughed up. So it's this constant tension, as you just mentioned, between privacy and collecting customer information. and how Apple can overcome that with their emphasis on privacy is an interesting challenge. And I don't know if Jennifer Bailey, who's a mere ordinary VP at Apple, has the authority to change the culture at Apple to wheel and deal and make decisions about how Apple Pay can compete with this mentality.
I'm just not seeing that happen. She may not be able to do that, but here's my thing, is that I think Apple's not doing enough outreach to retailers and creating programs for them to at least very from a marketing level, work with them. You know, I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see Apple's, and I'm pretty sure she could do that. She could come in and say, look, we're not getting enough exposure marketing. Retailers are confused about the technology. They're not implementing it. They're choosing to opt out of it. Can we implement some, even just if it's education and marketing programs at them? Or I'm sure she could propose, you know, doing some financial incentives, or how can we better partner with retailers? And I imagine that's the kind of thing that they did with the banks and the credit card companies. Because, I mean, with Apple Pay, it's my understanding that the banks are really the people picking up the fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, Apple gets paid from the banks. So you would think there would be some incentive for the retailers to want to continue to support, you know, any payment option their customers use. And I think this is part of the arrogance of Apple. I think Apple did think that consumer demand for Apple Pay was going to force retailers' hands. And I just feel like that didn't happen. It was a great idea and there was a possibility there. But in my experience, I think it's failing and they need to now jump in and do something. But it feels to me like they've thrown out Apple Pay. It's been out for a couple of years. They think it's going along just fine and they've moved on to other things and they're sort of ignoring it. And I just don't know if they care if Apple Pay really succeeds or not at this point beyond, you know, the level of success it currently has.
One of the things I believe is that Apple does not have a field sales force for Apple Pay, where you pay somebody to get in the car or get on the plane and go visit a customer and right. sit down with them and listen to their issues and resolve their problems and have the authority to make changes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're right. And yeah, and this is an underlying problem Apple has had for a very long time, which is develop a new technology and really hype it and then just kind of take a zen attitude towards it and decide it will be whatever it will be and move on to something else.
It may just not be generating the revenue that they care about to even bother with it more than what it is.
Adam. Service has got emphasis.
Well, but again, in the hierarchy of services, where does it fit with Apple Music and iCloud and in terms of revenue? And again, a lot of this is revenue driven. So when Apple Pay is only generating 1% or 5% of the revenue and the other ones are generating the bulk, then, you know, the bigger ones get
more. And it's all Jennifer Bailey's fault and she has to work harder.
Yeah. Well, hey, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. And Adam, please keep watching what's going on in your area as far as Apple Pay goes. I'm going to start paying closer attention where I am to see if I pick up on some of the trends you've been seeing. And John, please do the same where you are, too.
I will.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are out of time. So iMazing, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, iMazing.com/mini, and get your copy of iMazing Mini. It's free and it stays free. So you can do those highly detailed, very controlled backups of your iOS devices right to your Mac. That you want to do, go pick it up. iMazing Mini, iMazing.com/mini. And Adam, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Great to have both of you here today. Listeners, I am so glad you joined us again today. We will see everyone tomorrow.